Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
That's hour number two, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. We'll get the calls stacked, racked, ready to go. 800-919-3776. And we'll get to them momentarily. I know a lot of Knicks fans furious about last night. Hopefully Steve Javy just explained enough to you. Doesn't mean you're going to like it, but at least it explains a lot of what we were wondering about. But, Bart, a couple of Super Bowl notes here that I found very interesting. I'd love your take on. First and foremost, did you see how many people watched this game?
The Taylor Swift effect, baby.
You think it's just that?
Yeah. I don't know how true this is, though, too.
So let me tell the people before you do. All right, so according to Nielsen and Adobe Analytics, the game averaged 123.4 million viewers across television and streaming platforms. Here's the key. CBS, just like Channel 2 in New York, but just CBS, not the streaming stuff, not Paramount and all that other, just CBS, 120 million. Last year's game, and that was, again, Kansas City, and it was the Eagles, which is a huge fan base, 115. So it blew that one out the water. So you're telling me that extra 5 million people are just there?
Could be Taylor.
For Taylor Swift.
But also, like, hey, you know what's crazy? I hear Kanye got the booth right underneath Taylor Swift, and he wore his mask that he wears, but it had his logo on it, so it was like free advertising. Every time they cut to Taylor Swift, they can see him.
Oh, boy.
And he, I think, made $19 million off his product.
What?
Yeah, he has his own Yeezy.com. Yeah.
Yes.
And he made like $19 million just off of that day. And Taylor Swift had him kicked out, I believe, his suite below because of the beef that they had from the original, like him stepping up and going on stage.
Yeah.
So I think she had him removed. Huh?
Everything on the site went for like $20. So he
Everything was $20. He put it on sale. He made $19 million with using $0 for the advertising.
Oh my goodness! Right. Meanwhile, everybody else was put what they were paying, a couple million.
Hey, listen, you can say whatever you want. He's a crazy genius, but he understands marketing.
Yes, and the people that love him are also crazy because you're just it's the ridiculous loyalty.
But you can't deny that the shoes are nice, man. Like, that's the thing.
Okay,
like,
but
we know that Tide and Tommy Hilfiger is racist as hell, right? We know that. Like, he said he didn't make his clothes for black people, right? And this was years ago. Did DJ Khaled just make his thing with him? People are loyal to a fault. They're not loyal to anything. Right? If they like it, they like it. And, like, people can say what they want, but nobody's boycotted Tommy Hilfiger since he said that, and that was decades ago. And now he has it with another migrant. If he didn't make it for black people, he damn sure didn't make it for DJ Khaled, fat ass.
Derek Jeter famously said, loyalty one way is stupidity. The game, as I said, was on CBS. It was on Univision. Nickelodeon had that broadcast. And then Paramount Plus. That's what they record all this stuff on. Nielsen said that it at least part of the game across all networks, there was a record 202.4 million people watching.
Right.
202.4
and Alan,
million. You understand this country is 330 million people.
Alan,
right?
That's why I dare to ask you, how many was in Brazil because they know the NFL is coming? How many was in Australia? When we were talking about what we were talking about yesterday, when I was telling you
how important
it is. I
don't think this is international. This is CBS, Nickelodeon, and Univision. And Paramount Plus.
But it's streaming, though.
Yeah, but weren't there other broadcasts to other countries, like their own broadcasts?
Yeah, Telemundo. I watched Telemundo. Like it was
Univision.
Univision, yep.
Yeah. Anyways, this is an incredible number for the NFL, right? What's the world number?
What's the world number then?
I don't know if they can even track that.
Because if that's the case, we might need Patrick Mahomes to have an affair with Shakira. Then we might get 300 million. You know what I'm saying?
So Univision, here you go. Univision averaged more than 2.2 million viewers, the highest Super Bowl viewership for a Spanish language network.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, the Super Bowl's been televised in Spanish in the U.S. Since 2014. So again, Univision is just strictly the U.S. then. This is not something that is like going all around. So this is just U.S.-based viewership right now.
you know, the Wizard of Oz voice just said, now just imagine if Bad Bunny was there, that might have been 100 million Spaniards.
So?
You know what I'm saying? Because that's the thing, because most Spanish people are bilingual, I would say. Like, so a lot of those fans that are here that you know are probably watching the American one because they understand that just fine, right? And they're probably more comfortable with Tony Romo and Nance. They probably like those guys, right? So, like, this is a strictly probably straight into motherland. You know what I mean? This is Mexico City. This is, like, you know what I mean?
Once again, American markets.
Right.
This is only American markets.
I thought you said Telemundo.
No. I said Univision.
Univision, yeah.
And it's in the U.S.
Oh, okay. But
2 million people watch in the U.S. on that channel.
Got you. But how many people watched in Mexico?
We don't have that data yet. I was telling you about just what you have.
So it could be more. I wonder.
Of course, it's going to be more.
I wonder if America, if NFL starts like putting products too. I wonder how the sponsorship and advertisement dollars work, as far as being able to put American products on over there. Like, because you have to be probably strategic because of certain things that they won't consume from us. Mm. But you know, whether it's maybe Amazon or something like that, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, there's like, that new what's that new site that was going after Amazon, right? Like they
Alibaba
stuff's Temu, all that stuff's cheap.
Yeah,
right?
Alibaba, but I think that's China.
What is
Alibaba?
Is it?
Yeah, that's China.
Okay,
that's their version of Amazon.
What's Temu?
I don't know what Temu is. So that could be a new one where you get stuff that's cheap. You know what
sounds
I mean?
Finnish.
It does. Solani. It is. Temu is Chinese owned.
Okay.
Yeah, and they are growing, and they keep going after Amazon as if to say, before you go to Amazon, go here.
Right, we'll make it cheaper.
And that's what they're trying to do. They're taking away, and Amazon's the American company, so obviously there's a big digital
but you know the funny thing?
Yeah.
I guarantee you Amazon is not over in China because they'll block that. You see what I'm saying? But we'll allow the Chinese market to come over here and fight our American company.
But understand that there's a lot of Chinese products on Amazon.
No. I understand that. I understand that. But you see what I'm saying? Do you understand? Yeah.
They're exporting, but they're not importing is what you're saying.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
So cool. You understand? Well, we've kind of known that.
The irony. We need to stop that, man. Boycott Temu unless they let Apple and they let Amazon over there.
Now, how much time do you think Taylor Swift was shown on during the broadcast, the game broadcast? How much would you guess? How much time?
Well, she smartly was standing next to the real star, Patrick Mahomes' wife,
Brittany.
Is that her name?
And of course, Annie. I mean, Ice Spice.
Oh, okay.
She did look like Annie. I mean, come on.
Listen, I'm telling you, like you see Shaq. Is a grown ass man got kids at his age.
He's
thirst bucketing because
he said Apple, he wanted to meet Taylor Swift. That's what he said. He was there to meet Taylor.
Yeah, but he said, Ice Spice is amazing, man. That I'm telling you, that onion, it's like a pale onion, man. That onion.
No, I hear you. I'm just
that ain't a yellow.
The hair
onion.
Just
that's
throws
a white
you
onion,
off.
But it's
it just
nice.
The hair throws you off.
No, but sometimes she wears it straight and it's beautiful.
All right. No,
was
no, I'm not denying any of that. I'm just
telling
saying that in that moment it was like okay.
You know what most men are saying.
I just kept hearing.
You know what?
Come
you know what? Listen.
Tomorrow.
So it's like she's a fine ass redhead. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then I don't know if that's natural. Is that natural? Because I know. Listen, I know. Jake been all in. You know what I'm saying? He on the blogs trying to see what's up.
I don't know if it's natural because I do know a lot of like Dominican women that do color their hair or. Different shades of color.
Well, Jake, we need this
Does
type of research. This is what we depend on you from being a young buck.
Oh, I see why.
We need you. We need you to go back and look at our high school track pictures. You need to do a Google search because we need to know is all
so
hair
not,
red.
I can tell you right now, it's not her. That's not her hair color. No.
Okay,
I seen her old like
so this ruins
college
this ruins,
yeah college ruins like
it.
Pictures.
Oh, yeah. This ruins it. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get back to the original question. How much airtime do you think Taylor Swift actually got?
15, probably 15 real minutes. And you talk about a telecast.
You said
got
15 minutes.
Yeah. When you add it all up, 15
in the
minutes.
Game, in the game, not pregame, not postgame.
Yeah,
game.
I'm saying about 15 minutes. They probably
15
went to her,
minutes.
That's a lot.
Ray, would you want to venture a guess?
I'm not going to guess because I know in the ballpark of where it is.
Okay, then never mind.
Bart's Jacob? Not in that ballpark.
Yeah, no, he's not even in the planet.
Yeah, I do know the answer too.
You know it too? Okay.
Yeah,
I'm so like, you guys know
like,
the answer.
These like 10-second like clips that they show.
I'm gonna give you one more chance to guess, Bart.
Yes, like 10-second clips. So yes, how many good. Do you think there
how
were?
How much total time did Taylor Swift appear on your television during the broadcast of the actual game?
Okay, 30 minutes. It's 3 hours.
Okay.
You went higher? 10-second clips and you went higher than
he
did?
He did go higher, Bob.
Oh, but you suggested that I was going the wrong direction. Okay. Let's go 5 minutes.
5 minutes. All right. Is that your final answer?
That's a lot. That's a lot because, I mean, I remember doing the pregame show for the Super Bowl and postgame, and I was probably only on there 5 minutes.
So that's your answer. You're locking that in, right?
Yeah.
The actual answer is a grand total of 54 seconds.
Correctamundo.
Okay. How many different shots did they go to, Earl? So it's at 20 shots. How many separate shots is it?
Well, you could do the math if you do 20 and you just divide it into the
54. Oh, it was 20.
So well, no, you're saying 20. If you're guesstimating 20, how many time? Like 54 seconds, Bart. Seconds. So literally less than a minute out of what was – how long was the game? 3 and change, 4 hours?
Mm-hmm.
You saw her for less than a minute.
Okay.
You saw Will.i.am longer than you saw her.
Well, that's because he's performing. Stop it.
He was barely in that performance.
But when you flash you into saw, somebody's booth.
You saw not CeeLo. Who was that again?
Jermaine Fat Dupri.
It wasn't CeeLo. I thought it was CeeLo. Might have seen CeeLo almost
like
as much as you saw.
See, like, CeeLo really has, like CeeLo has, both of them got that Squidward head. And that Todd Smith
right?
head.
The cranium is, like, bigger than the jawline,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, I know what you're saying about Squidward. Yeah.
Like, Todd Smith has that, too. That's why LL always covered that dome up. But inside, on this little TV series, they like, man, you can't be walking around. You can't be a cop with a Kangol.
Right. When he wears a Scully, it's like, that's too much.
him and Neil. Worst heads in the world.
So the sphere, which is that the new thing in Vegas that has really become like a wonder, and everybody loves looking at it. It's like a visual wonder. That actually got 23 seconds, and I felt like that was ubiquitous. I felt like we constantly were seeing the sphere, but you were seeing it for like 3 seconds.
Right.
Like you weren't seeing it long enough for it to, to take up a lot of real estate when it comes to broadcast time.
Who's the richest guy that we got in sports right now? Is it Steve Cohen?
Is he the richest owner right now?
Yeah, who's the richest owner we got?
I mean, he's up there.
Because it can't be football. It needs to be baseball or basketball.
You don't think Jerry's up there?
Yeah, but he just built this stadium. Okay. We need a Spear baseball
team. Oh, that's right.
You
Steve
imagine?
Ballmer, the Clippers owner. What am I talking about?
Yeah,
right.
Dino nailed it. See, but he's already made it, so it's crazy.
Oh, a new arena?
Yeah,
yes.
We need a basketball or baseball to be a spear, so they can. So when you in there, they can put a light around the whole thing. Could you imagine how crazy
sick.
That'd be?
Yeah,
because the spear seats how many people? 16,000.
Google couldn't answer that question for you quickly. I can't, but I can tell you that.
Well, I thought because you and Dolan was bestie friends, he gave you the rundown.
All right, so that's you just said it because the man who financed the sphere is James Dolan. So I imagine that if that's doing as well as it's doing, if you're ever going to do something on the outside of Madison Square Garden at some point, wouldn't that be it?
Yeah, but I don't know if you're going to build a dome on top of already.
No, you just around, like you wrap the building in matrix like that, and you can make it look like anything. It'd be amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if he got this. What I'm saying is,
you don't know
I hope
if he's got what?
I would love
it. He definitely has the pockets.
No, I would love a stadium. That when you go in there, because really he stole the Spear idea. It's basically,
he did.
Yeah, the Spear is basically
that was brand new technology.
On the outside, but it's basically Newark. It's basically the Newark Science Center has a big round Spear that you go in there and you watch 3D movies, and the entire inside is that.
IMAX.
I don't know what it is, but they change everything on the inside. That's the first time I've saw that technology on the inside.
Yeah.
He's found a way to put it on the outside, but when you go inside, the stuff that they do for the concerts, that's what I learned from the Spear. I mean, not from the Spear, from the center at the Newark Science Center.
Okay, so they took it and they just juiced it up.
Yeah.
To 4K with incredible sound and everything else.
They just made it outside. Yeah.
Anyways, that's all the stuff that we saw from the Super Bowl. So all the complaints about too much Taylor Swift on my TV screen, it was less than a minute of Taylor Swift on your TV screen until the kiss. The kiss was probably the longest she was on TV.
Yeah,
because she met him, they talked, and the camera stayed on him.
The kiss was so whack, too.
And the kiss,
that's what I'm saying.
Apparently, did a lot of kissing the whole night. They were up till 5 a.m. partying.
I get that. But, like, for that, like, he kissed it like he liked white women.
Excuse me?
Well, usually, like, it was like all cute and stuff. You know what I mean?
He kissed her like he loved her, by the way.
No, he kissing her with too much respect.
Because that means he loves her.
No, he should have grabbed her ass. You know what I'm saying? That's how.
Is that
he
what
used
you do when you respect somebody and love
yes.
them?
Yes. You damn straight. I'm grabbing that ass because I love that ass more than anything.
You handle him physically.
You know what I'm saying?
So she's the world's biggest pop star, and I'm going to treat her
like some ratchet
I met.
No. That ain't ratchet.
Sure?
That's not ratchet. Come on, man. You love your girl. You gonna when you kiss, your hands don't go up on her shoulder blades. Your hands go on that ass.
In public?
Damn straight. No. Listen. Thank you, Jake. What the hell are you doing, Alan? You better grab your wife's ass in public.
No.
Might turn her on a little bit, son.
My wife is a teacher. Not really a thing you want to show in public.
Why not?
Because she's a teacher of fourth graders.
That's great.
It's not great.
Listen.
It is not great.
Okay. When I was in fourth grade, I was grabbing ass.
I'm not saying that I don't, and...
Yeah, we play ass tag. That's what Stacy got his ass whooped for. That's what he got his ass whooped in the wood because he grabbed Stacy's ass.
Okay. Well, again, that's
fourth graders are ass grabbers already.
Yeah, but
it is nothing wrong. She's
a billion-dollar industry.
I don't care.
And you want him to just
yes? You think
toss
you okay?
Her
okay.
Around
okay.
Publicly.
Okay. Okay. Rihanna's a billionaire.
Yeah.
You don't think ASAP Rocky kiss her and gonna grab her ass? So why is it different for Taylor Swift? Because Rihanna's a billionaire.
Yeah, I understand, but I don't think I've ever seen that. I have not seen
that either. Paying attention, bro. Like, bro.
What am I not paying attention to? First of all, I haven't really been around Rihanna in a while.
If you grab your girl ass, man, she's sexy, man. You grab that ass cheek. That's just how you do it. You grab her ass cheek where you damn near lifting her off the ground with that left ass cheek, left hand, center mass. That's how old boy from Baby Boy, that's how Ben Rames do it. You know what I'm saying? You grab that ass. Give him that young remote, youngster.
I love how you're talking to me like I don't know how to do any of this stuff, especially like
no. What I'm trying to tell you, when we see people out there,
and
they're like, "Oh my God, there's Mrs. Hunt."
I don't need to be revealing right now. I'm just saying that publicly, that is not like,
"Oh my God, there's Mrs. Hunt."
To do in that situation,
like you call a hell of a game. You know what I'm saying? Come out there. Mrs. Hine, come out there. You know what I'm saying? Be like, yo, you see Alan Hine, you know what I'm saying? That's a G. You know what I'm saying? That's how you do your woman. You know what I'm saying? You let her know. This mine. That's letting everybody know. Yo, this may be. Because, like, how he grabbed it, make it seem like it ain't no real relationship. Like, they just stunting for the endorsements. Meanwhile, you know what I'm saying? She's going to mess around going on tour with Bruno Mars or something.
He's like,
hey, it must not be real because he ain't grabbed that ass. I grabbed that ass. He should have grabbed that little bony ass and squeezed that ass.
Well, that's the other part of it.
In front of the whole world.
Imagine
how that picture would have sold.
I don't know if you guys saw that.
What?
It was like a video going around that she had butt pads on.
I did see
reference she ain't got no ass.
To during a concert, I guess the skirt blew up and it revealed that she was enhancing,
which we know that ain't Kelsey.
Isn't that all part of industry right now? Everybody's enhancing things.
No. We know that ain't Kelsey. His report.
I understand.
Listen, he doing it all for the flex.
You really think?
Yes.
Really think they party till 5 a.m. with her.
So what? I mean, listen, we all get somebody and we have fun with her.
There's something there. There's definitely something there.
Yeah, okay. He's teaching himself to love her. He can't listen. I know a man that, you know,
like he's in too
all
deep
his
now.
Girl,
he
all his
out.
Girls
he knows
had
he gets
ass.
Out, he'll be hated by everybody. Is
all
that
his girls? All his girls had ass, but dunks. Go down his resume, man. I don't need to go down his resume.
I completely understand his game, and I know I don't deny that. I just think there is something legit between them.
Catching Kelsey.
Yeah.
The show we had it. He had that one person on there with a little ass like that.
I understand.
Her ass is fat because she got bellies. She good for business right now until she not. until she dump his ass.
You could argue that there's no way out right now.
Yeah, not at all.
Like, he has to at least get through the season, get to the off season, and then maybe just do the whole, you know, moving on thing.
What's her longest relationship? Because I think she gets bored, too.
She does. She bounces around a lot. Like, she's and it's a lot of different people that some of them, you're like, what the hell? Like, if you saw one of her boyfriends and then compare him to Travis Kelce,
I tell
like,
you what.
Are you serious?
The
guy is a soggy fry, a soggy French fry compared to Travis Kelce.
Listen, you better watch out for Davidson.
Tommy.
He put that little alley.
Oh, Pete.
Yeah, Pete. Because like it's
I
like.
I just saw Tommy Davidson. Wait a minute. What?
Remember, Neighbors, when he was like, "You the one you cheat on my wife?" He picked him up like, "What, honey? He's so light. He's all you know what? He's all meat." You know what Pete Davidson saying? Hey, I would have grabbed your ass. Pete Davidson like, "Hey man, I'm gonna put this little mini anaconda up on that hip."
Why can't you just do that later? Why does that have to be
on
display, man?
Like, because if you, like, you ain't supposed to be paying attention to what the world thinking. Naturally, you see your girl, you just won a championship, man. You're going to grab, pick her up and grab both asses and she wrap her legs around you, son.
Well, that does happen. I have experienced that. But that's also spontaneous.
It ain't spontaneous. You just won a Super Bowl.
When you're in a crowd with, like, people around you, there's not a lot of room to be running and jumping up and then wrapping your legs around him. There's just that moment where you're kind of like, just she's trying to hug him, and he's got his pads on. That's the other thing, and he's way bigger than her, which she's not used to that. A lot of her boyfriends are just pretty much her. Remember, she's 5'10", 5'11".
All right, man. I'm just saying.
So maybe that's also.
I mean, I'm here for it, right? I remember the Reggie Bush and Kim Kardashian stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And now this is the next profile. Like, what I'm saying is, we need somebody to go get Selena. You know what I'm saying? We need to grow our game so the NFL needs. Not Selena.
I'd love to be able to get Selena, but unfortunately.
No, not you. I take that back. You know what I
Shakira.
Mean. Shakira. Yes. Yeah,
Shakira.
One of them.
Happily married, though. With kids. Long.
So was Giselle. Until she fell for her trainer, son. You better quit playing. We're trying to grow the game. We need the NFL in on it.
Oh, Tom Brady.
Maybe Jalen Hurts. Maybe Jalen Hurts. We need somebody. Well, you see right now Odell's trying to retread with Kim K.
I did hear about that.
They were seen spotted coming out the suite. She had the hat down. Listen, Kanye walking around with his Kim.
There was a lot of that happening at this game. Did you notice
that? With the Kim clone.
There was a lot of stuff going on in the suites, by the way, that was like there was a field day for Page Six and TMZ. Yeah. It was like, wait a second, they're with them now or they got together, they spent time together. Bro, it was very interesting.
Let me tell you something. If you go to some of these after parties, you'll see, like, that's when it's all bets are off. You know what I'm saying? Like, cats in there trying to thirst trap. You see, Shaq is old enough to be Ice Spice daddy.
Doesn't matter.
He like, hey, if it was good for Woody Harrelson, if he can go with a young chick, I can go with a young chick. I'm sure what the days was all about. He ain't even hiding it.
I can't even keep up with Bart right now. I'm going to call an audible, and we're going to move audio files to later in the hour because we got lots of calls to get to, and I think it's a good idea to get back into that conversation. A lot of people want to react and everything else. So 800-919-3776. We'll talk with you coming up next. But first, hey, do you want to experience an inflammation of money and happiness and watch your bank account grow with an extra pep in your step? Catch Joviaitis. It's a side effect of not-for-profit banking with Jovia Financial Credit Union. When you bank with Jovia, you may see an increase in savings, growing checking account balances, and reduced rates on loans. Symptoms may include greater happiness, reduced stress, and general feelings of financial freedom. Join Jovia and start spreading the wealth.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, everyone said the Knicks were the big winners at the trade deadline. Unfortunately, not doing a lot of winning right now. Another loss last night as they fall to the Rockets in a controversial conclusion. Earlier this morning on DPH and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said the Knicks are hurting right now.
This is as good as the first half has been, and it's been great. Right now, we're struggling, and it's for, I mean, obvious reasons. I mean, we're as banged up as you could be right now.
Right, but 2 weeks ago, we said second seed well within reason, and it was. I mean, you were right there, and now you've really fallen off, and it's terrible. I mean, now you're tied for the 4-5 spot, which means if you're in the 4-5 spot, you got Boston if you make it to round two.
And that's brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original, triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey, be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, we're going to push audio files up a little bit because we got lots of people that want to talk to us. 800-919-3776. Been holding a while because we had Steve Javy. If you missed it, we'll play a little bit more of – we'll play a lot of the best of what he said in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll go back into that conversation. Steve Javy, of course, longtime NBA official and now ESPN rules analyst, and he explained a lot of what happened last night, Nixon, the Rockets, and the controversial call at the end, and gave great perspective on all of it. And, oh, by the way, did say, yeah, you don't call that. So there's no argument there. But right now, we want to let you be part of this conversation, 800-919-3776. And we go to the Mitch is in the car. What's up, Mitch?
Yeah, hi, Alan. Long-time listener and long-time viewer. I missed the explanation, but I have a question. Maybe an idea. Why are the officials allowed to change a call when the ball goes out of bounds without a coach's challenge?
It's a great.
There's obviously a disagreement between the teams who the ball goes to. Why don't they allow the officials at the end of the game when it's a critical call that changed the outcome of the game? Two of the officials think that something is not right with the call. Let them look at it, review it, and make a decision.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's one I asked Javy. I said, you know, you guys, we've seen it before. We saw it earlier in the game. Ball went off someone's foot. It was the wrong call, and they got together and said, no, what'd you see? Okay, this is what I saw, and then they overturned the call. The NFL, it does as well. But Bart asked the question, and it was a good question, and Steve said that in that situation, you can't do that, number one, because the official who called the foul was right there. So the other two officials have to say, you know, what did you see? Okay, I saw this. All right. Like, you know, like you can't argue with him because if he says, no, I definitively, yeah, I saw lower body contact. Like whatever it was that he said to the other officials, if they did converge and discuss it, they can't tell, well, you're wrong. I saw this. He was right on top of it. So
well,
if they aren't
sure
and he is, they've got to trust him. And then when they watch the video replay and he goes, oh, crap, you got it wrong, it's too late.
Of course it's too late. But that's the question then, really. Isn't it the same when the ball goes out of bounds? Maybe the official that's closer to the call makes the wrong call, and then the guy on the
it's
other
right, but you'd
side
have
of the
to,
court.
As the other official, see, it's a foul. It's different when it was off someone's hand or off someone's foot. That's more definitive. A foul is really judgmental. You know what I mean? Like, I can't say to you as another official, yeah, that wasn't a foul. I wouldn't call that. I think you should as a crew chief. I think you should have the ability to overturn it. But in this situation, as Javy explained to us, you can't. If a guy calls a foul, he sees the foul. You can't say to him that wasn't a foul and discuss it. That's not how it works. You can say, I saw the ball hit the hand. I saw the ball hit the foot. What did you see? Discuss it. Okay, let's overturn it. You can do that, but I don't think you can overturn another foul call by another official. All right, at least that's the way Javi was explaining it. But I don't think it should be that way. I think an official, especially the lead official, should be able to overrule a call.
Especially when it's a game-changing yes. call, when it's critical to the outcome of the game at the last second of the game.
Yes.
So, anyway, yeah. I don't know. Maybe the NBA should look at it and allow the officials not just to look at the clock at the last second, but also look at a call that changes the outcome of the game.
Yeah, there's going to have to be a discussion about it, of course. Thank you, Mitch. I mean, it just unfortunately, you know, look, this happens 0.01% of a time. Most of the time, you're not going to see this, but when they do come up, it is frustrating because it ends up being, you know, the difference between a win or a difference between a loss versus an opportunity for five more minutes to try to get a win. Mike in West Caldwell, what's up, Mike?
What I'm about to say, I thought long before what happened last night, but I don't think the players are doing themselves any favors by arguing every single call, missed call, what they think is a call. I'm telling you, these refs are human. And I don't like NBA officials, and I know their job is hard, but these guys beef on everything. And you don't think down the line, they go, I'm not giving this effing guy to call. All night long, he's badgering me about this and that. No. So I don't think these guys, if they would just go back to, when you were in high school, if you beef with a ref, you got your ass parked on the bench. These guys, after everything, and Brunson, I love him. He's turning into one of these. Now, I know it might be warranted for him, but just shut up. Because when my mother would yell, she yelled so much, it started not to mean anything. When my father would yell, he never yelled. Then it meant something. So wait until you have a real beef to get your point across. I think they kill themselves, and that's league-wide. That's my opinion.
Listen, aren't referees supposed to be impartial? Aren't they supposed to be above that? Don't they get paid to call it how it is and take their emotions out?
They're not.
So let's put the
– They're human.
Why are they taking it personal? They getting paid money to do something that they love to do, just like the player. And, you know, dialogue has always been healthy, right? Because they don't get everything right. They're not perfect. But when you talk about an emotional game, it means a lot more to the player than it does to the referee. And referee can care less who wins or loses.
What you don't see a lot of times is you'll see the demonstrative, like, frustration after a call. But then you'll see during a timeout, the player, you know, whether it's during a commercial – or even during like free throws, you'll see the player walk over to the ref in a calmer moment and then just say like, what? And I'll tell you, those conversations aren't, why didn't you call that? It's, what did you see there? Like what did you see? Cause this is what I felt. This is what happened. And then these discussions are generally calmer, but in the heat of the moment, a lot of the officials understand like guys are battling hard to drive to the basket. They're going to be frustrated. So you just let it go. I'm looking down the floor. I'm not even looking at Jalen, who's got his arms up in the air. Now, if you hear a magic word, now I'm going to tee you up. So a lot of times you see that type of stuff. You're not seeing a guy MFing someone. You're just hearing a little frustration and then get down the floor. And then they have a calm conversation. Let me explain to you what I saw or why that didn't warrant a whistle, and then they move on. Now, if it's like three or four times and it's like, wait a minute, you already explained it to me and it's still happening, so clearly you're not seeing something, then the frustration starts to build. But I thought you were going to actually – where I thought you were going to go, Mike, was flopping and how referees now don't know what the hell to call because, you know, boy, you look like you just – like you took contact when you really didn't, and now I'm not calling it because I don't trust that you're really getting hit as hard as it looks. And that's why I think flopping came into the league and it really made it harder for officials. And that had to stop. And the league has been trying to get that out of the game as well. And let's also learn one more thing. We've been complaining about how that's too easy, the offense, right? In the NBA, guys are scoring 50, 60, 70 points. That teams are scoring 120, 130, 140. And we all go back to, you know, in the old days, how tough it was and physical defense and no one defends anymore. Well, now you're saying we're going to let more physicality happen to get that the out-of-control offense under control to where there is some resistance to it. And so now players who are used to getting calls on minimal contact are not, and they're complaining about it. So this is right now sort of an awkward stage in the NBA of what used to be an easy call is no longer easy because they're letting the physicality go because fans have said we like physical games. And last night, that second half, that was physical. That was a battle. You liked it. But what you don't like is when the official in the end of the game blows the whistle to have control over a game that should have been decided by the players. And that's exactly what Steve Javy said to us. Matt in Princeton, what's up, Matt? Matt.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hey, guys. Oh, my name is Ness, by the way.
Okay, sorry.
But long-time listener, big fan of you guys. Just wanted to make a point as well, just to kind of piggyback on what you just said, Han. Definitely, it's not in their best interest as the referees to call a game to sway, you know, a narrative that they're not trying to do. Because at the end of the day, they want to make, you know, they want to make their money as well. They don't want that bad rap on them. On the other hand, as a longtime Knicks fan, now that they're getting a lot better, you know, there's still a foundation. Yes, we have a great player in Brunson. But I just, man, it's frustrating to see him not get calls or for a call to be called the way it did last night. I mean, they battled back, you know. And it just seems like, you know, he just isn't getting these calls that I feel like he's deserving all season long. He's on his back every other play, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, how much of that is him when he drives and he just, you know, lets himself hit the floor? He is
right,
seeking
right.
contact. Like that's the problem is he's also – and this was a lot of times with LeBron. They would say, well, he's so strong that even when he gets hit, it doesn't affect the shot.
Oh, Shaq more than anybody.
Shaq, that was another one. And
right,
and
for
you'd
sure.
say, well, but he's still getting hit. Like, just because it's not affecting the shot, why are you punishing him for being strong? Brunson, same thing. He's taking hits and he's playing through them. Why are we punishing him for being strong? You know, that
agreed,
I think
agreed.
Is
agreed. I just make one more point with that.
Sure.
I say before the whole flopping thing, who was always on the floor in the mid-2000s? Dwayne Wade. You know,
yeah.
You never knew if he was playing physicality or if he was
yep.
throwing himself.
No, that's
but
true.
As great as a player he was always on the floor as well. But I think he was getting calls.
He was getting calls.
In that era.
He did do a lot of flop. Obviously, Ginobili
he
did a lot
pump,
of flop.
He was a pump fake king, though. So he got guys up in the air all the time falling for the dumbness.
Yeah. No, he did. But it is something that does, you know, that again, Luka Doncic, he gets to the free throw line a ton. And a lot of times what he does is he gets you pumped. Like, you are on your toes because he's got great pump fakes. He will flop a lot, though.
Sure.
He will flop a lot. Trae Young flops a ton, but he also keeps you off balance. They're difficult to officiate. You know, Julius Randle's more
definitely.
Run right through you type of guy. But Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson are in the top 20 in free throw attempts per game. But it still feels like there are
right.
times where they could be getting more. Matt Nash, thank you very much. 800-919-3776. We'll continue with your calls. Like I said, we had pushed off audio files, so we'll do that coming up next. With several different things to play for you. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Hear from Steve Javy in the 2 o'clock hour, what he had to say about what happened at the end of last night's game. But, hey, Bart, right now, It's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files. Extra steak.
The Audio File.
You did have a little extra breath in that one, too. Impressive. Talking Super Bowl still. So the parade's tomorrow, right? Mm. Anyone? Parade, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs parade is tomorrow.
I want to say
this. Ash Wednesday, Valentine's Day, first day of Lent, and Chiefs parade. All annual events.
We can have a parade, baby. Go ahead and shoot up the club, Travis. Cashing that lottery chip.
Well, that is something to keep in mind. 9 months from now. Anyways, as we know, the Niners sounded very confused about what they were supposed to do in overtime, what was happening in overtime. But Patrick Mahomes did know what they would do if they won the toss. Here he is on SportsCenter.
We would have probably kicked if we got the ball, but from what they said, they wanted the ball in case it was sudden death at the very end of the game if both teams scored. And so we just knew that what our decision was. We had talked about it. We had talked through it since training camp, and then we talked about it all through the playoffs, and we're very well prepared, and that speaks to the coaches, and it prepared us to go out there and win the football game.
Wow. He just laying it on thick now, how prepared they were. How about this? If it would have been sudden death, right? Both teams get a touchdown. Listen to what Mahomes said they would have done.
We were going for two. I don't know if Coach Reed wants me telling everybody, but we would have went for two for sure.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the first time I heard that. I believe I forgot the other player that said that. It could have been Travis Kelce said they talked about that, right, because they didn't want it to come down to we scored and now all they need is a field goal.
Right. So instead, we go for two. And in the game, we're going for the win. That's it. We're going for the win.
Let's remind everybody, though. That's why you go second.
I got you. And Mahomes made it clear how prepared the Chiefs were. And let's remind everybody how ill-prepared the Niners were. Kyle Juszczyk explaining most of the players didn't even know the rules for overtime.
You know what? I didn't even realize that the playoff rules were different in overtime. So I assumed you just want the ball because you score a touchdown and win. But I guess that's not the case. So I don't totally know the strategy there.
Something you guys have talked about?
No, we haven't talked about it, no.
Damn. Does that resonate even more now after Mahomes is like, yeah, we've been talking about this since training camp.
Yeah, and a guy from Harvard has no idea. So if he don't know, there's a lot of associate degrees out there that you know they don't know.
No, that's a bad look. All right, moving on. Let's get into the NBA. So we've been talking a lot about calls and non-calls and Brunson, you know, playing physical, getting hit and all those things. Listen to Giannis Antetokounmpo talking about just how beat up he and Jokic can get from playing.
You can see he scratches because he has a lighter skin than me. So, yeah, I have a lot of... scratching my arms too. My significant other think he's sexy, so I love it.
What? I'm lost. I'm lost. What are we talking about?
Jokic, right?
Oh.
He's saying you see the scratches on Jokic because he has lighter skin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because
okay.
When you scratch white skin, like
it turns bruise up, red. Yeah, got you.
And or you'll also see like a good scratch. You'll have like a red scratch. Where he's saying you don't see it as much on me, but I do get scratched up too. And then he added the fact that his wife loves it. Thinks it's sexy.
See, I bet he grabbing that ass in public.
There was a lot of things he actually did in public in regards to her before they had kids. And then after they had kids, which is what I'm getting at.
No. Let me tell you something. They wanted, listen, that's why you lose the spark. You grabbing that ass before the kids, I'm grabbing that ass after the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Son laying right there. Sleep. If he under two, he'll never remember. Get it in. Get that work in, son.
I hear you. I've talked to you all the time about trying to lock that door. And these kids find a way in that room every time.
Hey, all they have to do is walk in there.
I want the freak.
All they got to do is walk in there the wrong way the last time. Like, hey, yeah, be careful walking up in here. Nature's happening. I bet they ass knock after that.
Mom, Dad, I cannot see that.
Well, you hurt my mama. Yeah, that's why. That's how you got here. I hurt mama. I hurt her real good.
Oh, man. Last but not least, hey, you know, now that football season's over, baseball season is about to start. In fact, the Yankees tomorrow, pitchers and catchers arrive. More on that later. Yesterday, for the Mets, pitchers and catchers in Port St. Lucie. So David Stearns talking with the media, and the big story going into spring training has to do with the fact of Pete Alonso and his future with the Mets. Remember, he said, I expect him to be with the team next year. Never said anything beyond that. So how about as we begin spring training?
We're not going to get into the specifics of any particular negotiation. I'm not going to provide you guys updates on any conversations that exist back and forth. But look, when you have a really talented player who's really good, who's entering his final year of club control, who happens to be represented by Scott Boras, these things generally end up into free agency. And we understand that. This is an organization that's dealt with that before with really good players, and it's ended up in a perfectly fine spot. So I have not seen Pete here yet. Haven't talked to him here yet, but what we're going to talk about is, look, let's go out and have a great year together. You go out, have a great year. Let's have a great year as a team. And if we do that, we're both going to be set up, the organization and Pete, going to be set up very well going into the offseason.
What is this telling you here? What are you hearing in that whole thing? Give me a BS translator on this.
Yeah, he's trying to negotiate about having a year. I'm trying to get paid before the year starts. So tell you what, I can go out and have a great year. I'll holler at you later after that if that's the case. Because you think if you're not going to show loyalty and step out there on faith after all that I've done, then why the hell I'm going to sit here? It's not like this is the best situation for me to win a title. If it's another opportunity that's out there to help me, then you making sure that you take your time with my negotiations, I holler at you because you went out and gave Lindor this money and he was an outside guy coming in. So maybe I need to go be an outside guy coming in for somebody that's going to show some gratitude and appreciation.
I mean, he's really being careful, and I guess it's the smart thing to do if you're Stearns. You don't want to say too much here. You are dealing with Scott Boras. You're also dealing with, you know, a player who the fan base absolutely loves, right? Mm-hmm. So what you don't want to do is say the wrong thing. So it's better to just, hey, let's just have a great year. Like, he's saying all the platitudes that you would expect, right?
But you pay your good players for early, right?
Are you cleaning your ears?
My ear was itching, man. I had to scratch it.
Oh, that was I thought you had a Q-tip.
No Q-tip. You know, Q-tips are horrible for you.
Are they? What?
It's a pin top.
You were using a what?
A pin top. Everybody
so that's
uses
better.
A pin top.
So that's better than you.
To scratch. You can't scratch the inside of your ear with no damn Q-tip. That's going to make it itch more.
I
use something hard and plastic that I can just scratch it on the inside because my fingers won't fit.
No, and you don't want to do that. You don't really want to stick your finger in your ear.
Exactly. My finger couldn't fit in my ear anyway.
Scratch it up.
It's physically impossible.
Is it?
Yeah, my fingers are, I got big fingers, man. Big
you got
hands.
Little ears?
Big hands.
You got little ears?
No, I got little ear canal. You know what I'm saying?
I was just curious.
You got them. You act like you ain't got them. Everybody hates Chris ears.
What's
Everybody hates Chris.
You get so mad. The Yankees, by the way, Bart, they pitchers and catchers show up tomorrow, and you think about this, right? All they really did, nice, all they did, mm-hmm. but they trade for Soto.
Who's batting?
They get Marcus
Stroman. Do we know he's betting? Batting.
He's probably batting second.
Okay.
But there's still like Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery. They're still out there.
Jordan Montgomery ain't coming back. Y'all got rid of me. Don't try to holler at me now.
Yeah, he didn't sound like – but then again, if you're still out there, you're going to take some money now, right? Like, I mean, you're not going to hold grudges if someone's willing to pay you.
See, but you –
it's an amazing thing that Blake Snell just hasn't signed.
Well, but Blake Snell doesn't pitch more than five innings. That means that, you know, you got to sit up here and you got to make sure that it's going to be a bullpen game. Got to go get you know, the rest of the outs. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, he's great, but he's a short sample size. He's only going to give you so many innings, so you got to have a plan around that. This ain't like, oh, we signing an ace, so like he has to understand.
Well, he's a Cy Young guy, but it's just
Yeah, Cy
different.
Young for five innings. Like, bro, I still damn near got a half a game to play.
Yeah.
You ain't even getting me to halftime. You barely get me into halftime. You give me the first drive after the third quarter.
But your rotation right now, I mean, Gerrit Cole's obviously Cy Young. He's great, right? Mm-hmm. You bring in Stroman, you get Nestor Cortez, and then, of course, Carlos Rodon, who, by the way, is showed up early in Tampa. And but the mustache is gone, too, which, thank God, right? Because that was awful. Mm-hmm. Terrible look. So he gets rid of the mustache. And, you know, this is the best shape of my life kind of thing.
Yep.
Which you hope, all right, good. Does that mean you're going to stay healthy? And then you could perform up to what your capabilities are, at least why they brought you in. You know, it's such a wild card right now with this rotation. And I guess, you know, the Yankees, I mean, you never know. If if Snell stays out there and no one's willing to pay the price that I think he's a Boris candidate, right? He's a Boris client. What they're looking for, you know, he's not taking a 1 year to pitch in Cincinnati.
Right.
Like, you're going to go to a big market on 1 year, go to a team that has the chance to be a winning team to do another prove it so you can build off that, right?
But
so if you're the Yankees and Mets, you should kind of just lay in the weeds here and see if you can get a good pitcher for cheap.
But if you're Blake Snell, you're going to wait and see if somebody lose their pitcher like we lost Diaz.
Yeah.
So why am I in a hurry to go to training camp and do all that stuff, you know, when it's a long-ass season? I'm going to wait it out.
I want to get paid, though. I want to get paid.
Yeah, you're going to get paid when somebody get hurt and they had aspirations to win a title. And now, you know, you're looking at them five in and like, yeah, come holler at your boy.
How about Cody Bellinger, too, another guy? Like, it's just it's
These are guys waiting out the market. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you be that and you wait and
or did they overestimate the market? Did they overestimate the market?
Well,
thinking they were going to get big money.
Well, this ain't the time to worry about what the market is yet. You know, things change when people get hurt. Like, look what happened to Diaz. Changed everything for us.
But that's not how free agency used to work. This was a boring baseball free agency.
Well, for some people it works that way.
It could.
And when you're a guy that's not young and you only present five innings, then you're going to have a unique market. And, you know, people are going to be forced to have to pay more when you're the only one that's quality left. And they thought they were all settled, right? Just imagine if it was a great if it was a closer out there that was waiting that didn't get what he wanted
and right.
Diaz got hurt.
Yes, Mets would have paid top dollar for him. Yeah,
damn right.
That's a good point. All right, that's Audio Files. Again, it's Yankees. So the Mets are already there. Pitchers and catchers are already there. Yankees will get started tomorrow. I'm sure we'll hear from Brian Cashman and others, but Aaron Boone. Let's not forget Aaron Boone. I don't believe he's got a contract beyond this year, right? So there's a lot of stories around the Yankees and Mets, but around the Yankees, an 82 win season last year, unacceptable, and they don't have like a big headline offseason. They make one major move, one curious move, and other than that, last year's team's coming back, and the most important part of last year's team coming back is coming back healthy. So a lot to get to as baseball is just around the corner. Just around the corner, of course, is the Power Hour. And if you missed it, we'll play back some of the best of what Steve Javy had to say to us, the veteran NBA official who talked about what happened last night at the end of that Knicks-Rockets game. You don't want to miss it. So stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So another Super Bowl title for the Kansas City Chiefs and another Super Bowl ring for Patrick Mahomes. Already conversation that Mahomes is the greatest of all time. Yesterday on the K-Show, Michael said, Mahomes is not the GOAT yet.
You know, Mahomes is the GOAT. Listen, he has the same amount of Super Bowls as Tom Brady had at the age of 28. There's still four more to go to tie the guy. I mean, talk about like the bias of recency. What are we doing here? Do we have to make these proclamations all the time that this guy is the GOAT? Listen, this guy's one of the greatest. I don't think you're going out on a limb. But for anybody to say with such unbelievable certitude, he's now the GOAT. No, he's not.
That is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew response. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here, 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.